Good evening. This year's LTC theme is Making Him Known. As a Christian myself, I struggle every day to make Him known. But LTC this year has really helped me out by giving me verses throughout the book of Acts of Christians who spread the good news of Jesus. There's a story of a boy who was a Christian, but his girlfriend was not. She thought she was, but she wasn't taught correctly. She was raised in a denomination, and she believed in baptism, but she did not see the divine power in it. She only saw it as an outward gesture of an inward emotion. The boy, however, he was raised in the church, and he knew the importance of baptism in Scripture. He knew he had to teach her the importance of baptism, but he was afraid, so he put it off. She went to church with him, but he never brought it up. Then one day, she asked him to attend a school function, and he didn't want to go. So he told her if she could find in the Bible where the sinner's prayer was located at, he'd go with her. She agreed, and so she looked for it in the Bible. She couldn't find it anywhere. She told him she couldn't find it, and so he asked her why she believed in it. Now, they started studying about it a little bit more, and later she was baptized into Christ for the remission of her sins. All this happened because the boy got over his fear of rejection. I tell you this story because the most important thing a Christian must do is to make Jesus known. Even if you have to force yourself into it like the boy did from the story, at least in the end, the girl was saved. As I speak today on making him known, I'm going to keep most of my lesson in Acts 17 when Paul is in Athens. In Acts 17:16, the Bible says, While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. Athens back during Paul's time was just as immoral as the United States nowadays. They worshiped so many idols, and some idols' worship promoted prostitutes and other sexually sinful acts that the Gentile world at that time participated in. The people of Athens had one idol that was to the unknown God, just in case they missed one. And being Gentiles, most of the people of Athens were immoral, and they supported gays, and they didn't care about premarital sex, and they didn't think orgies was morally wrong. They just did anything that pleased them, a lot like the United States nowadays. Today in the U.S., if you don't support the LGBT, which is the lesbian, gays, bi, and trans community, then you're narrow-minded or intolerant of other people. It seems like the stuff on TV is trying to teach kids to be intolerant or tolerant nowadays. There's a show on Cartoon Network, I remember, that aired a couple years ago, and I was excited for it, and when it finally aired, I loved it, and it was a funny show. But a couple episodes into the show, it showed a kid with two moms. It doesn't tell you that they're lesbians, but if a kid watched it who didn't know it was biblically wrong, he/she would grow up thinking it's right and grow up not only tolerating it, but also approving it. And then also in the new Beauty and the Beast movie, they made LeFou, which is Gaston's right-hand man, a gay character. It's very subtle, and if you aren't paying attention, it might not even show up as a red flag on your moral compass. But it's the fact that Disney would do that just to make progress on their idea of a perfect world. A world where no one condemns anyone for doing something they like to do. A perfect, tolerant world. That's the kind of world Paul faced in Athens. Though he faced rejection, he still had to preach. Athens was also known for being very wise, and the Bible says in Acts 17:22 that all the Athenians and foreigners that lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. The people of Athens, they might have been immoral, but they also weren't dumb. And so when Paul got there, the first place he went was the synagogue. Acts 17:17 says, "So he reasoned in the synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those that happened to be there." So after he left the synagogue, he went straight to the marketplace to keep preaching. Paul kept going to the marketplace and preaching good news of Jesus every day, so that even if just one soul was saved, he knew he was doing the right thing. From those verses, we know Paul preached to people at the place they were at in their faith. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9:20-23 that, "To the Jews I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having a law, I became like one not having a law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having a law. To the weak I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. To do this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings." Paul made himself like the ones he was trying to save to make them more comfortable listening to them. They would trust him more if he became like them, so he became them. He did that without losing Christ, which is important to note. Paul made sure he wasn't under the law, or free from God's law, but that he was under Christ's law. Paul probably went to the synagogue first because they already believed in the true God, so Paul could immediately debate the resurrection of Christ with them to try and save some. After he left that, he went to the Agora and preached about Jesus to those that happened to be there. While preaching in the Agora, some Epicurean and Stoic philosophers overheard Paul and they started to debate with him. Acts 17:18 reads, some of them asked, what is this babbler trying to say? Others remark, he appears to be advocating foreign gods. They said this because Paul is preaching the good news of Jesus and the resurrection. The Epicureans and Stoics were the two main Hellenistic schools of philosophy. While they differed in their fundamental tenets, both philosophical schools recognized the goal of philosophy to be the transformation of the self into a sage. They took Paul to the Areopagus, which was the council or court of justice in Athens at that time. Paul knew that these people had no clue about the true God or Jesus, so he tried to reach them from where they were at. We read beginning in verses 22 to 31, Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, people of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. So you are ignorant at the very thing you worship. And this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he has made all the nations that they should inhabit the earth, the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. Though he is not far from any one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As some of our own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. And he has given proof to this to everyone by raising him from the dead. Paul's reaching out to the Athenians where they were. After any type of public event, you'll get about three reactions from the listeners. And Paul found out that some will sneer, some will say they want to hear you again on the subject, but they aren't quite ready to commit to it. And then you'll have some that believe and respond to your message, like Dionysius, which was a member of the Areopagus, and a woman named Damaris, and others. Close to the end of Paul's life, he says in 2 Timothy 4:7-8, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. The only way for anybody to long for his appearing is if you have heard Jesus and he was made known to you. Jesus calls on us to make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It is our duty to make Jesus known to people so that they can long for his appearing and make Jesus known to more people until everyone on earth is longing for his appearing. Remember the story I told you at the beginning of the lesson? I don't know what the end of the story would be for the girl that was converted. I hope it's like the story that was in a paper called Old Pass. It was an article written by a preacher by the name of Flavel Nichols, and it was entitled The Power of One. Here's a part of the story in the words of Brother Nichols. During the war between the states, a young woman learned the truth and obeyed the gospel. Her sweetheart, J.H. Halbrook, was a Confederate soldier. He was captured by the Union Army and kept prisoner in Michigan until the war was over. He was then given a ticket to Nashville and $2.50. From there, he returned to Centerville, Tennessee, found what was left of his home and family, and he was reunited with his girlfriend. They were later married. Mr. Halbrook's new wife studied the Bible with him, and he soon became a Christian. He thought the truth was so good and so simple that he began to teach and baptize many of friends and neighbors. Then he began to preach, but he recognized his need for more training, so he enrolled in Mars Hills Bible School and was taught and trained by T.B. Larimore. Upon completing his studies at Mars Hill, Mr. Halbrook and his wife chose to move farther south into Alabama. Among his many converts were Charlie Alexander Wheeler and his wife. Mr. Wheeler, after obeying the gospel, soon began preaching others to, preaching it to others. He started more than 100 congregations and baptized more than 6,000 people. But wait, the story does not end there. One of those 6,000 baptisms was my father, the late Gus Nichols. And under my father's preaching, 12,000 people were converted to Christ. And how many of those 12,000 began to preach the glorious gospel of Christ, no one can know the exact number, but I personally know several who did. I am one whom he baptized and encouraged to preach, and under my preaching, about 3,000 have been baptized. Among that number, a few have gone to preach the gospel. Only eternity will reveal the total results of the teaching that one girl over 150 years ago had, but at least 21,000 people have already become Christian through the single thread in the fabric of her influence. What a wonderful story. I close today by calling on everyone out here to try harder in making him known, fighting the good fight, and finishing the race. And lastly, keeping the faith so that you and those you bring to Christ can have a crown of righteousness of your own. Thank you.